Well, it's nice to see all you beautiful people on the last morning of the conference. And so you must be here because you care about this subject, which is dear to my heart, where I spend half my time. And it looks like you all do too, because many of you live or work in Africa. Am I right? Okay, and let me say two things. We do have some flyers in the back about two upcoming conferences where we're looking for abstracts from people. One is a global gender inequality conference with the nexus of gender-based violence, drug use, and HIV in April in Chapel Hill. And the other one is the In Women's Conference about substance abusing women in Palm Springs, attached to a NIDA conference, NIDA International Conference next June. And they all, you compete for a travel award. So please look in the back. And if you have any questions, Brittany Howard, raise your hand, is right there. I also want to say that the work that I do, I've been doing for a very long time. I do with an incredible team. Dr. Felicia Brown, right over there, has been with me for a very long time, off and on, as she went and finished her doctorate at Harvard. But I want to say to you, we all know, if we think of Africa, that topic of Africa and HIV is really about gender inequality and social determinants, which is also about severe poverty. So we stand here thinking what we do sometimes is a drop in the ocean as funds are changing and countries are having to recognize they can't have a donor mentality. And so we have to work with governments to work with them as we have evidence-based interventions and need them to also ante up and work with researchers to say, okay, how do we implement these? And that's kind of with the stage of where I'm at. Though I've done this work with sex workers a while, I'm just going to show you some cross-sectional data today. But we have lots of publications, and we're glad to share with you what we have. No disclosures at the moment, but I'm glad to have a conflict. I love to work them through, psychologist in me. Thank you for the slide, Felicia. I've really worked it the last week in different talks. But South Africa, as we know, anybody here from South Africa, we have more people consistently over the last, since I've been working there 14 years, more people living with HIV than anywhere in the world. And when you look at sub-Saharan Africa, that's where the burden is, and the face of HIV is really women, and it's childbearing women. So we think about where we need to intervene. We really need to be thinking about women, though we are working with men, and we work with couples, and we do have a men's intervention and a couples intervention. But it is disconcerting when you look at the ages. So here you have my comment about gender inequality and poverty has led to greater sex trading. So when I just started, and I was sent actually to Africa in 2001, and they said, we want you to do some work with drug-using women, because I'm actually an addiction clinician, as where I started before I did research. And I said, what am I going to learn? What am I going to do? And they said, you'll figure it out. What I really found with drug-using women were a lot of sex workers, and I hate that label, because they would say, well, I had no choice. Because when we think of the school programs, I can tell you about school dropouts because we have projects on school women, young women who drop out of school and why, but that's a whole other talk. But the problem is boys are favored. And so if you talk about patriarchal societies and what we're up against, boys are favored. So girls don't have an option, and mothers send them out because mothers also have drug problems or alcohol problems, and they say you need to go out and work. And the first time I heard your body is your bank account, go to work at 8 years old. I heard the same thing in India. And so I'm headed to India actually this week. Some things haven't changed. So as you can see, all these issues are all the things we're still working with, but we're working a little better on our interventions. We're honing down the skills that we teach women in empowerment, in educating them, teaching them skills so they're portable skills in every situation so they can protect themselves. The aims of this study is another study that we've done in this area that NIDA's been talking about, NIH talks about it. It's a seek, test, treat, and retain paradigm. This study is really more test, treat, and retain, but there's some interesting findings to share with you on the Women's Health Co-op. And the Women's Co-op, the original Women's Co-op, was best found at best evidenced by CDC. We published it in the American Journal of Public Health 2004. But when we went to Africa, we really added violence prevention because South Africa is like the epicenter of rape in the world. So we really had to develop violence prevention and abuse of how do women really get out of bad situations, how do they deal with men partners, And how do they take care of themselves? And the more they drink and drug, the more they give away their power. But how do they gain that agency? So we really had to, in every situation, this intervention has changed. And it's not, it's an organic process, this intervention. This is the design of this study. It was a clustered randomized design. We've moved away from individual randomization, but as you know, an NIH study has to have some rigorous design. And we have 14 different communities where we randomized into just usual testing and the Women's Health Co-op testing and the Women's Health Co-op design. As you can see, we plan to have the seeking every with our outreach workers, the testing, and the testing that we do I'll share with you in just a second. By the way, we're still doing follow-ups, but I'm really proud of the team that we have, and you'll see the picture of them. As I say, I stand up here, and they hold me up because we're at 92% follow-up at 12 months, and that's incredible if you think about it, across all of Tshwane, which is Pretoria, the capital city. And that we didn't take our deaths out. We've had 15 deaths that I think that's where we are now. And they were because you'll see our rates of HIV. This is all of Tshwane, which is Pretoria, of the randomized zones. They are looking at what they're going to do for the day. We have an incredible crew. And some of them have been with me since 2001, by the way. So that's really, when you build a workforce, they're the ones, you know, it's not just about research. It's about doing this work and loving the work. So here's doing community outreach, and the eligibility for this study was 15 or older, and alcohol and drug use in the past 90 days, unprotected heterosexual sex, plan to stay 12 months in the area. And the problem is, as you may know, many women come into the city, but they have families in the rural areas, and so getting up with them within the time for follow-ups is always something interesting to do. Also, working in brothels, don't waste my time. We had to get IRB approvals to go into brothels to do intakes and biologicals. So we've done everything, because we have lots of approvals to get through. It's not just in this country, it's not just in South Africa, but it's also locally and in so on. So it's always a process doing international research. But as you can see, we do. That's why I wanted to show you our little Pima machine, because it's portable. But we do HIV testing, and we do CD4 testing, because that was a barrier to getting women to ARVs, and alcohol breathalyzer drug screening, pregnancy testing. They like the pregnancy testing. They want to know. That tells you they're not using protection all the time. And viral load. But we haven't analyzed the viral load. We're just keeping it in freezers at UNC. We're just going to focus on sex worker and non-sex worker at this study, so I'm going to briefly show you that while I still have a few minutes here. And what I want to show you, what's really important is, and I say, again, not just labeling, but understanding what opportunities they have or don't have. They're very similar as far as education and, as you can see, homelessness. Having a cell phone is pretty important, getting in touch with them, and having given birth. These are mothers. So, and you can see the age. Now, in my earlier studies, we got them a few years younger. And then you can see here, as far as prevalence of HIV, prevalence across the whole study was really an average of 55%, but look, among sex workers, is 68%. 10 years ago, it was also 68%. But among drug-using women, it was 32%. It only tells you with more poppy population of opium and heroin coming down through Africa, we're getting much more heroin use, smoking heroin, not injecting, but we're getting much more drug use. But I want to, you can see here what's really important when you seek new people on the 90-90-90, testing everybody in the world, 90% know their percentage, 29% of sex workers didn't know their status. And 42% of the drug users didn't know their status. This is important because in seeking and testing and treating, part of our study is doing case management, and that's why we do the CD4 test, so that we can jump through those barriers, because getting an appointment and getting them in the clinics and how they're treated and the stigma in the clinics is amazing. So we actually handhold them, though sometimes they want to leave. They don't like to stay in the queue, and they want to go get drugs. You can see the drug biologicals here. And opiates used to be 3% 10 years ago. Look where we are now, 23 and 15%. Marijuana, DACA, that's always going to be what it is. So self-reported daily drug use, as you can see, there are similarities. And Nayopi is a mixture of marijuana and heroin. That's how really they do it. And other drugs. So sometimes they don't even know what drugs they're doing. This is what they self-report. So you look at the biologicals. So other drug use and condom use that last vaginal sex. That's really an important one because you can ask what you've done the last 30 days, how many rounds you've had protected sex, because it's important. It's not just last sex. At each round, what was protected. And you could see what the differences are between sex worker and non-sex workers. Use condoms with other partners. And look at the difference of last sex with main partner, the differences of the non-sex worker versus the sex worker. So we've got some really interesting differences between women who are sex workers and non-sex workers. And when doing this, we also do personalized action plans in the intervention so we can really hone in on what women need to do to protect themselves individually. Unfortunately, there's some abuse that goes on with women, as you can see differences between physical abuse, sexual abuse, and both, and the history of sex workers and non-sex workers. And in a country where men would say to me, well, my grandfather disciplined my grandmother, my father disciplined my mother. Discipline means beating. And they turned out okay, which made us think we really needed to develop the men's intervention. So here's the abuse from main partner: emotional, physical, sexual. And then women who knew they had HIV, had they received care? And have they taken their ARVs? And this is disconcerting when you look at 68% were HIV positive, knew they had HIV, and were they taking their ARVs? So that's that seek, test, treat, and retain. Are they being retained on ARVs? This is a worldwide problem, by the way, not just South Africa. People are not being retained. But in South Africa, we've actually looked at barriers. And part of it is, if you're homeless, by the way, we're only going to give you 2 weeks. Now, after 2 weeks, what happens? Are they going to go back in the queue? What do we need to do about that? So look at this currently on ARVs. Pretty bad, isn't it? This is seriously a problem. So in summary, you know, HIV prevalence is high among women. Obviously, we're not doing everything we could do. Many are newly diagnosed and unaware of their status, and this is very disconcerting. And sex workers, even in the earlier study that we've shown, had higher levels of AOD and actually wanted treatment, and we've published that before. And I want to say, Winnie Lucino, who's doing fabulous work, I want to say now in PIRE, was on the very first study that we did showing that they had greater alcohol and drug need, wanted treatment, but didn't know where to go. But we're doing a better job now. We got free treatment slots. Our community advisory board, called now Community Collaborative Board, they had action items too. If you want to be on our board, we need things from you. And they wrote a proposal for housing. We got free treatment slots. That doesn't mean when we get them to the door, they stay. Doesn't mean when we get them through intake, they actually last. Having been a treatment director, I can tell you, half come in crisis and they leave. So, but as you can see, sex workers are less likely to access health services, so we have work to do. They use condoms more, even with main partners. So they're very good at that. Even though we practice it and we make them learn how to do sexy, safe, pleasurable sex, we really encourage a lot of playful role-playing and rehearsal in our intervention with all the women, and they reported greater abuse from main partner. So problem solving, we do the personalized action plan. This is our site. We make our site beautiful. We collect all our artwork from each study and keep adding it. And so we want it to be a place where people can come shower, they get donated clothes, toiletries, and we get donated food every week. And all the women who want to take ARVs but have no food to take their ARVs, we know who they are and we go and take them the food. And that's that process of really being thoughtful about what we do. It's beyond what we call research, but it's really knowing the women and what they need. And you see escorting them, the CD4 helps, escorting them to the clinics, reducing the barriers, free substance abuse slots, economic empowerment. Some of them have quit doing sex work that we know now with our follow-ups. We do mixed methods, so we're also doing in-depth interviews to say, what can we do better? What worked for you and what didn't work for you? And working with our SAR, Community Advisory Board, Collaborative Boards, and the NGOs on housing and a drop-in center. So here's the group. They're fabulous. Aren't they beautiful? I thank them and all the women. We have to keep doing what we're doing, and thank you all for doing what you're doing. Thanks.